Hello and welcome to Faith Center. Thank you for joining us today. For more information on Faith Center, visit us online at www.faithcenter.cc. This morning I want to talk to you about condemnation. Condemnation. How many know that condemnation is very detrimental? It can have a huge impact on our lives. When I think about the recent, bombings, or in the light of all that we see, a lot of that is attached to religious belief. Is grounded, and there's a lot of layers to it, but is grounded on their belief and trying to be right with God. Some literally feel that they're doing God's work by killing who they consider infidels. And in order to be right with God, they go to these extremes, to the point of killing. Whether it's not only adults, but even kids. When a person will strap a bomb onto themselves and go somewhere and detonate that thing and kill people, you got to know that is really coming from, or is rooted in, trying to do something to please God, what they say is pleasing God. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus ever condone or say, kill your enemies. Instead, Jesus, he brings in a whole revolutionary type way by saying, love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. And love your enemies. I mean, think about that. When you think about loving your enemies, see, sometimes you think that this person that talked about you is your enemy. That ain't nothing. All they did was just said something about you. A real enemy is somebody that hates you, that wants to see wrong and damage, and would go out of their way to damage you. And then for Jesus to say, love your enemy, wow. That's huge. So when he says love your enemy, he's not talking about that, you know what, you were in line to get the tamales and the person in front of you took the last tamale and you ended up with none. And now you're mad. That's not like, man, and then you go to church, man, I'm having a hard time forgiving that person because, you know, they took that last one. Dude, really? So when you think about your enemies and all that, and the reason I'm laying that groundwork down is because this condemnation is such a strong driving thing within people's lives that'll drive them to extreme measures to deal with this load of condemnation that they carry within their lives. And I want to give you what I think is probably one of the most, when you look at Scripture, one of the most extreme ways of dealing with this load of condemnation and guilt. And I think it's found here in the book of Matthew 27 in Judas' life. And listen to this. So when the morning was come, all the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death, right? And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now look at verse 3, and I want you to see this. And Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned. Everybody say with me, condemned. When he saw that he was condemned, repented himself Now, how many know that there's a lot of there's different layers to repentance. There's different layers to it. You could just feel bad about something. But and then there's something where you feel so bad that it'll literally drive you to do something. Then there's another layer where you do something and it could eat away at you and it could tear away at you. It could work havoc in your conscience. So much so that that thing is like a haunting thing that's always on you. So we know that Judas sees that they had condemned, but listen to what happens here, and I want you to see this. Judas, when he had betrayed, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. So he repented himself. So this repentance, I'm sure that all of a sudden he's feeling guilt. I think one translation says he felt remorse for what he did. But I want you to understand that sometimes when you do certain things in your life, you know, on how you deal with that, you know, it will determine on the way that you deal with it. You're either going to, you know, deal with it scripturally or deal with it, you know, scripturally God's way, or you're going to try to deal with it in your own way, and it'll lead you into, you know, other areas where you'll end up literally damaging yourself even more. But it says that he repented himself and he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. Verse 4, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And listen to what they said. They said, what is that to us? What is that to us? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he departed, and he went, and he hung himself. So he hung himself. So what he did, he was feeling so much guilt and condemnation that he hangs himself. Now, you know, that's pretty heavy duty when you go to that extreme. Go with me real quick over to the book of Luke, Luke 22, and I just want to lay a little bit of the groundwork for this because, you know, when you think about it, condemnation is a powerful thing, boy. I told you the story before how, you know, one of our, and it's a lightweight thing, but, you know, we had a dog named Sammy. And boy, she was a good dog. I think we had her for about 14 years almost, right? About 14 years. And boy, she was the happiest dog ever. Every time I walk out to the back, it's like you're the greatest thing since cheesecake. She just loved the heck out of you like crazy. Just licking your hand, licking your face if you let her. And boy, just happy to see you. But once in a long while, whenever she would do something bad, like she tore up something, like when we first got her, she would tear up everything. She finally got out of that stage. But boy, I knew how to make her feel bad. I would make her feel really bad. All I'd have to do is, she's all happy, wait, she didn't have a tail, but you could just tell. And all I would say was, bad Sammy. And all of a sudden, man, her head would go down. And I would just do it just to mess around with her. And I would tell her, bad. And she'd be walking away like this, you know, with her head down. And I'd follow her. And I'd say, bad, bad, bad girl. Yeah, right. But you know that she would literally walk away like that. And then at a drop of a hat, just like that, not like us. Just like that, at a drop of a hat, I'd say, come here, Sammy. And boom, it was like there was no animosity, there was no dog resistance, there was no, I want to bite you or anything like that. She would just like turn just like that. And all I would have to do is, come here, girl. And boom, it was like, she just, you know, like nothing ever came down. She didn't even feel, she was free of all that bad, Sammy. Bad girl, bad. But let me tell you something here. When you talk about condemnation, people carry guilt and condemnation every day of their lives. For some people, they carry it to the extreme that they get up in the morning and they're carrying that. And they're feeling that. They go to bed thinking about this thing. They have nightmares about it, and they wake up with it, and it seems like they just can't let it go. It's like they just can't be free, and they carry it. Over in the book of Luke, notice with me here in the book of Luke, and I believe it's over in Luke 22. When you got it, say amen. But condemnation is the act of saying that something or someone is, and this is from a dictionary, is very bad, amen, and unacceptable. Bad and unacceptable. I seen an image one time looked like a person was speaking, and out of that image, as they're speaking, is the words that are coming out forms a hand, and it's literally choking the little kid. And as it's choking them, those words that are coming out are saying, you know, bad, ugly, dummy, you know, and just all these different words, and literally choking the kid. And as you look at that image, the kid is crying, and you just see the tears and the hurt in this kid as those words are coming out. So condemnation is something where you get that feeling, or you have that sense, that deep feeling of not being right, of always being unacceptable, and it carries with it a lot of pain, deep rooted pain. One dictionary says this, that it literally means to vex. Vex means something that constantly hits at you, vexing you. You heard that term that says, man, my spirit is vexed. Also, it means to disturb or to bite back. Something that happens or something that goes on, they're constantly biting back. And it's constantly vexing, disturbing you. Something that it's just always there. And if not dealt with, I think that just like Judas, when he betrayed the Son of God, and even to the point of, you know, looking, for him, for Judas to go back and throw back the 30 pieces, that's somewhat of a form of trying to look for relief. By taking the silver pieces and throwing it back, that's his way, that's his form of trying to get out of that load of guilt and condemnation, by throwing the 30 pieces of silver. Now, what's interesting to me is that the religious leaders, instead of them saying or giving him some kind of comfort or word or something like that, they're more like they detach themselves from it. They said, what has that got to do with us? And if you keep reading that scripture, it says that they took the money. Isn't that hypocritical? This guy's throwing the money because he feels like this is blood money. But yet, the religious ones are taking that money and saying, hey, we can do something with this. And it says that they use it for purposes of burying those that can't afford a burial site. And that's what literally what they use it for. So look at me over at Luke 22. So I want to go back to the root of where this comes from, condemnation. Where do we get condemnation from? And if you look with me over at Luke 22, and I want you to see this in Luke 22, and I want you to go with me to, I'm going to read this from the Message Bible, Luke 22, verse 3, from the Message. And when Satan entered Judas, it says Satan entered Judas, the one called Iscariot. He was one of the 12. Leaving the others, he conferred with the high priests and the temple guards. Then it goes on to say how that he might betray Jesus to them. Or I think the different translation tells us how that Satan entered in. If you look over at the King James, he tells us how that they were conspiring, looking for a way to kill Jesus. And then in 22 verse 3, it says, "And then enters Satan, entered Judas." And then it says, in other verses of scripture, it says that he put it into his thoughts. Or he put it into his mind. He put that thought, the intent, into him to betray. How many know that a lot of times that the devil always try to put something on you? Come on now. Are you here this morning? The devil will always try to put something on you. In the book of Genesis, when he comes over to Adam and Eve, or to Eve as she's there before the fruit of the tree, or the tree there, he starts off by saying, hey, you know that that tree, and he starts up, has God said? You know that God doesn't want you to be like him, knowing good and evil. So you always see where that always starts out, where the enemy puts those kind of things in your heart. So condemnation starts, or has its roots or its origin, starts out by following what the enemy, the demonic, the satanic, him which opposes all righteousness, all right, and all goodness, by putting that within the hearts of people. Now, the unique thing about the devil is that he'll put something into your thoughts and your mind, and then he'll say, why are you thinking that? If you're a child of God. If you really are a Christian, then why are you thinking like that? And sometimes we don't realize that, you know what, he put that on you to begin with. Someone said this, that, you know, just like you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest on your head. Isn't that right? So meaning that, you know, you can't always stop those thoughts. Some of us, our minds are so way out there and so cluttered with so much stuff. It's a dumping ground. That the devil uses a dumping ground. If you drive down San Fernando Road, all you got to do is go down San Fernando Road, and then you'll cross over there past Balboa, and over up on the left-hand side, they got a dumping ground. If you pass by there, sometimes, man, it stinks. And it could be really bad. If you go down over on Glen Oaks, Just go on down over there near Penrose and all that, and guess what? You got more dumping grounds. And they try to do everything to beautify it. I seen a place that was a real beautiful piece of property. Like they fixed it up really nice. And boy, and it just looked really nice. But what people didn't know was that underneath that, the layers and layers, there was all kinds of stuff that was dumped. Now, the reason I say that is because that's how sometimes our lives are, that we become a dumping ground. From the moment you become conscious of your life and the first time that something wrong is done and you're conscientious about wrongness, you now become a dumping ground. And the rest of your life, you begin to seek out a way to find relief. Remember that scripture? Or not scripture, the flip-flop. Oh, wait. Fizz-fizz, flop-flop, flip. Flop-flop. Fizz-fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Remember that? What was that about? That was about taking something to find relief. See, some of you go way back. All right, so let's go over to the book of, I want you to just write this scripture down. So I want to tackle this. I want to help us out because you know what? The worst thing that could ever happen to us in our life is that you become a dumping ground for the devil to just throw everything that you've ever done and just constantly bringing it back up to the surface. And sometimes it comes up so much to the surface that you feel that your life stinks. And there's only one way to deal with that. And we're going to see here in a bit. Write this scripture down, 1 Timothy 3:6. You know, when he's saying, hey, look out among you, get people that will do the work of God, get other people involved in the work of God. You know what he says to them in 1 Timothy 3:6? He says, don't pick a novice. Don't pick somebody that's newly born into the kingdom of God. Why? Because he says, let's be lifted up with pride, and listen to what he says, they'll fall into the condemnation of the devil. They'll fall into the condemnation of the devil. Meaning that sometimes when you're not, if you're not rooted in God, and if you're not mature in God, you know what? It's easy for you to get offended, and you fall into the condemnation of the devil. I remember the first time that, you know, I had just come to, I wasn't even really serving God all the way or anything like that. I was just coming out of Hippieville. You know what I mean? Trying to come out of that party scene. And I remember I went and hooked up with this group that they would go to the prisons. And this is probably like 1977. And so I go, you know, I happen to show up, and they're having service. They said, on Saturday, we're going to go to the prison. And I thought, hey, that sounds good to me. So I remember that I showed up. I thought, well, maybe I'll show up, and I'll, you know, I'm going to go with these guys to the prison and see what's going on over there. So I remember when I showed up, the leader of the pack told me, sorry, you can't go. You can't go because, you know, you got to wear a white shirt. You got to have a white tie. And they just started telling me all the gotta's. You got to this, you got to that. And I knew I didn't measure up. And at that moment, I could tell that, you know what? I was offended. Right away, I got offended, and right away, it was easy for me to take. I got offended. I took offense. I said, well, yeah, you know what? You and your. Come on, man. Don't look at me like that. Some of you are looking at me like you're so holy. You never think like that. Okay. Praise God. I'll have you preach next week then. But, you know, I just, you know, it was. I think this is what that verse is talking about. They fall into the condemnation of the devil, meaning that all of a sudden now the devil's just having havoc. He's just going to town on you. He's just having his way with your mind and all that. And if you don't watch out, the rest of your life will be impacted by that. How many people do you talk to that refuse to go to church, refuse anything and everything that has to do with God, and they always go back to some situation, some incident, something that happened, and they'll point to that and say, that's why. That is what I believe that he's making a reference to, that they fall into the condemnation of the devil. So I'm saying that it comes from, it's rooted in, from the enemy himself, the enemy of your soul. James 5:12, listen to James 5:12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth. You remember reading that? James 5:12? Neither by any other oath, but let your yeas be yeas and your nays nay, lest you fall into what? Lest you fall into condemnation. Let me give you an example. I remember years ago, back when I first came to the Lord, I would fast a lot. I'd go on a 3-day fast, and then I'd eat. Then I'd go on another fast, and then I'd eat. I remember one time I thought, you know what? When I first came to the Lord, I said, I'm going to fast during Thanksgiving. Can you imagine that? And I said to myself, maybe God's speaking to us, everybody, to fast on Thanksgiving. Wow, look at you. You're ready. Like, that's not God. Look at you. That's how much food controls us. But I remember one year, the very first year that I came to the Lord, I said, man, I'm going to fast on Thanksgiving Day. We were over at my sister's. What was that? Buckeye Bleaker? I don't know. What is that? Carmen knows. She's Bleaker. Yeah. But I remember I go to my sister's and I thought, man, I'm going to fast. And I remember, it seemed like everybody smelled like turkey. And I'm trying to play it off. Hey, aren't you going to eat? No. Man, I ate like a pig. But you know what? Afterwards, I felt so bad. I felt condemned. All of a sudden, this guilt jumped all over me. You said that you were going to this. You said that you were going to that. You said that you were. And boy, this load of condemnation just jumped all over me. In James, when he tells you, let your yeas be yeas and your nays nay, what he's saying is, hey, you know, and one verse of scripture tells us, don't be so quick to promise and this and that. How many people fall into condemnation because they said they were going to do something and they didn't? And they're carrying that whole load of condemnation. Do you know how many stories I've heard of what people are going to do over the 35 years? Oh, okay, lighten up here. People, man, Pastor Rudy, man, we're with you all the way till Jesus comes back. And sometimes I got to look back and say, man, you're so far back, I don't even see you. But and then what happens is condemnation sets in. Condemnation sets in, and then they go into hiding. It's kind of like when you owe somebody money, right? You ever owe somebody money? And then all of a sudden you see them. Exit stage left. Amen. He owes you money? All right. I think Matt was like that. I'll tell you, you owe me money. Make sure you pay up, right? Praise God. But I'm just saying that sometimes those things can cause you to, you know, it just brings a load on you that you don't need to be carrying. And the reality is that we need to be able to deal with those things within our life. Amen. I know I'm on a negative bummer right now, but here we go. I'm going to give you something to help us out over here tonight. Listen to this. One guy says this. He says that he considers condemnation to be the number one weapon that the enemy uses against believers. Condemnation is the number one weapon that the enemy will use against you. Another guy says this, that Satan's, what Satan does is that Satan will take a shining magnifying glass and will begin to focus on particular areas of your life and will begin to make them huge. Your shortcomings, your faults, your failures. And will begin to magnify those things so big and so huge that eventually you will become overwhelmed. You will become overwhelmed and overtaken because of this. One guy says that the way that the devil works is by taking those thoughts, and he becomes a master at working those thoughts, putting those thoughts in your mind and then working those thoughts to the point where you can't function the way that you should be able to function or the way that God created you to function. One brother put it this way: a thought left to ramble in your mind can attach itself to an incident in your past. It will begin to feed on that incident and grow like a virus. The stronger it gets, the weaker you become until your strength has been drained away by lust or resentment or fear. The thought you left unchecked today can become a stronghold tomorrow. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to take every thought captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ. Now, let's go to the book of Romans chapter 8, and we're just about ready to close off here. And I do want to say this. Praise God for the power of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ that has power. Praise God for the suffering of Christ that he took my sin, he took the suffering, and it was put on his body, and he was nailed to a cross. He nailed all my junk. Amen. You heard it said before that we got so much junk in our trunk, isn't that right? That we're low riding, right? But sometimes we got so much junk in our trunk that we need to learn how to deal with that stuff. So today I want to tell you that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Come on, you want to give God praise for that? And I want to talk to you right now about how to deal with condemnation in your life. Number one, first of all, I want you to think of this. No condemnation is not living in denial, but rather in the truth of God's word, God's mercy, and God's grace. You ever see people that live in denial? I ain't got a problem. And, you know, I think it was USC. The coach of USC, man, big, huge scandal, big problem. Because the guy shows up to a big event and he's drunk. And he's cussing and doing all this. And the guy was wasted. And he said, okay, it won't happen again. Next thing you know, once again, it happened again. They finally had to dismiss him. You know why? He was living in denial. Didn't want to deal with the issue at hand. So today, when I tell you that condemnation, it is a real thing. It is a real something that we wrestle with, that we got to come to terms with, and we need to know how to address that condemnation. When you feel the load of guilt and condemnation coming upon you, how do you deal with that? Romans chapter 8. And if you read that scripture, the Bible tells us, and listen to that scripture, and you got to underline that. If you don't know these verses, you got to underline that verse, highlight it, do whatever you need to do to remember this verse of scripture. Romans chapter 8, in verse 1, there is therefore now no, what's that next word? Condemnation. No condemnation. There is no condemnation. Praise God. Have you ever had somebody, you know, you did somebody wrong, and boy, you're seeking forgiveness, and if you ask them to forgive you, boy, it's a powerful thing when they forgive you. Isn't that right? No condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. And boy, I think that we all need to learn how to live a life free of condemnation. Condemnation free. Free of all condemnation. Praise God. There's a difference, though, between condemnation and when God also begins to bring something or conviction over something. See, because there's people, they'll just do whatever, live however, cuss you out, do you wrong, double cross you, stick you in the back, shank you, and not even think twice about it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. No. You need to have conviction over that sinful behavior. On that unloving, critical spirit that you got, you need to get repent of that thing. Hello, are you here? You know, it's kind of like in a marriage, you know. You know, you can't be married and just treating them wrong all day long. And then at night, hey, baby. She's going to be like, don't you remember? You got amnesia or Alzheimer's? What is going on with you? See, and then you're going to like, well, you know, hey, praise the Lord. God is good. Hey, you can't be doing that stuff. See, that's part of the problem a lot of times is that people will do unchristlike things unlovingly in an unlovable way and then expect you just to, no, you need to say sorry. You need to shape up or ship out. No, I'm you know, you need to straighten that out. You need to straighten that out. You can't be doing that and then claim a Bible verse. You have to forgive me. Praise the Lord, you have to. No, you need to repent. That's what you need to do. You need to stop it. What you need is cachetada therapy. You know, stop it. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So Romans 8:1. So what do we see? So I'm talking about how do we deal with no condemnation? How do you stay condemnation free? And there he tells us the remedy. He tells us how to do it. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Number one, you got to be in Christ. Man, in Christ, I'm free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm free. I'm in Christ. You're a new creature. Old things pass away. Your old sinful self has been crucified. It's a matter of just keeping that monster under control. You got to always deny the flesh. Isn't that right? Because you know what? Sometimes we all want to blow up. We all want to do, you know, something that's not right in the sight of God. So number one, how do you deal with it? Be in Christ. Those that are in Christ, are you in? In Christ. If you're not in Christ, today is the day that you can be. Number two, who walk not after the flesh. You know, you can't follow the dictates of your flesh. If you just did everything your flesh wanted you to do, guess what? You would never be right with God. You have to not walk in the dictates of your flesh. Boy, the flesh can really get out of control, can it? The flesh can get crazy and wild. The flesh can just wants to do whatever. If it were up to my flesh, guess what? I'd rather just give me $1 million and I just hang out at home and just, you know, howl at the moon and, you know, just do whatever, you know. If you let the flesh rule. So number two, you can't let the flesh rule your life. Because your flesh will rule your life if you allow it to. So when I say the flesh, I'm talking about those dictates of the flesh that try to take you outside of God's will. Number three, he tells us is, but they walk after the Spirit. Walk after the Spirit. Walk after the Spirit. Remember the scripture in John 3? Go with me real quick. You got to see that. John 3, because usually we quote it, but you got to see it for yourself as we get ready to close off, if you guys want to work your way up. But I want you to see this in John chapter 3, man. This is, for me, this is one of the most powerful scriptures ever. I think. John chapter 3. Boy, if we could just master these verses of scripture and really live in the revelation of John chapter 3. I heard a story about some nut in New York. He was there in New York, and some crazy dude hanging out in New York, and tons of people walking by, and as everybody walked by, he'd point at them and say, guilty. Somebody else will walk by and he'd say, guilty. And then somebody else will come by and he'd say, guilty. And you know what? You should, the writer goes on to say is that you should have seen the response of those people. One guy, as they would look at him, they would just like run off in a hurry to get out of there. One guy, he said that he heard him as he was running off saying, how does he know me? And that's because sometimes I really feel that spirit of condemnation, that spirit constantly accusing, constantly trying to beat you down, constantly trying to load you up with more and more of that sense of condemnation. Listen to John 3, verse 16. This is a powerful verse of scripture. It's good if we could master this. For God so loved the what?
World.
That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, underline this verse of scripture in verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen to what he says in verse 18. He that believes on him is not condemned. He that believes in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You're already walking in condemnation. And you'll try to do everything you can to drown that condemning spirit. You'll do whatever it takes. But there's only one remedy for that condemning spirit. Redemption, mercy, forgiveness that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Hallelujah. I want to close off with one final verse. Can I give you one more? You could play a little something there. That's good. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And I promise this will be the end. This is such a powerful, powerful story. Because in the book of John chapter 8. Here's a woman that was caught. You know, the Bible says that she was caught in the very act of adultery. Have you ever thought about how do you catch somebody in the very act? Number one, the guy should be busted for being a peeping Tom. Come on, man, seriously. How do you catch somebody? Are you that despiteful? Are you that driven to have to pull out people's stuff in their life? How do you catch somebody in the very act? And listen to what he says in the book of John chapter 8. And if you look over in verse 2, and early in the morning, he came again to the temple. So we know it's early in the morning, and the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And other translations say in the very act. And they set her in the midst. And they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act. I don't know how much that says to you, but. And notice what they said. Moses in the law commanded us that they should be stoned. But what do you say? And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. And Jesus stooped down and with the finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the first stone. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, listen to that, their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning from the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We're talking about condemnation. I'm not talking about judgment. I'm not talking about judging people. I'm talking about getting that load of condemnation off of you. What did Jesus say to her? Caught in the very act. Yep, you did wrong. Yep, in the very act. But Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. That's hard to grasp. Sometimes that's hard to receive. Today, I challenge you to walk out of here getting a hold of the words of Jesus. Neither do I condemn you. When we come to the Lord and we allow Him to work that in our lives, amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand. I pray that the Lord will bless you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Neither do I condemn you. Anyone and everyone that comes to Jesus will not be condemned. There may be others that will accuse you. There will be others that will throw stones at you. But if you deal with condemnation, if you deal with sin, if you deal with disobedience, if you deal with what God is saying to you in the right way, you're not going to walk in condemnation. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help us to get that load of condemnation off of us, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we glorify you today. We honor you, Father. Let the Spirit of the Lord move upon every one of our hearts and our minds, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray.